Chapter 31 Scenario. To the first approximation, it was an elementary problem in dynamics. The mass of Kali was known to within 1%, and the velocity it would have when meeting Earth was known to 12 decimal places. Any schoolboy could work out the resulting half mv squared of energy and convert it into megatons of explosive. The result was an unimaginable 2 million million tons, a figure that was still meaningless when expressed as a billion times the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. And the great unknown in the equation, upon which millions of lives might depend, was the point of impact. The closer Kali approached, the smaller the margin of error, but until a few days before encounter, ground zero could not be pinned down to within better than 1,000 kilometers, an estimate that many thought was worse than useless. In any event, it would probably be C0, as 3/4 of the Earth's surface was water. The most optimistic scenarios assumed an impact in mid-Pacific. There would be time to evacuate the smaller islands before they were scrubbed off the map by kilometer-high waves. Of course, if Kali came down on land, there would be no hope for anyone within hundreds of kilometers. They would be instantly vaporized. And a few minutes later, every building over a continent-wide area would be flattened by the blast wave. Even underground shelters would probably collapse, though some lucky survivors might dig themselves out. But would they be lucky? Over and over again, the media repeated the question raised by 20th-century writers on thermonuclear war. Would the living envy the dead? That might well prove to be the case. The after-effects of the impact could be even worse than the immediate consequences, as the skies were blackened by smoke for months, perhaps years. Most of the world's vegetation, and perhaps its remaining wildlife, would fail to survive the lack of sunshine and rain laced with the nitric acid produced when the fireball fused megatons of oxygen and nitrogen in the lower atmosphere. Even with high technology, the Earth might be essentially uninhabitable for decades. And who would want to live on a devastated planet? The only safety lay in space. But for all but a few, that road was closed. There were not enough ships to take more than a small fraction of the human race even to the moon, and there would be little purpose in doing so. The lunar settlements would be hard put to accommodate more than a few 100,000 unexpected guests. As it had for almost all the 250 billion human beings who had ever lived, Earth would provide both cradle and grave. Part 6 Chapter 32 The Wisdom of David. Captain Singh sat alone in the large, well-appointed cabin that had been his home for longer than any other place in the solar system. He was still dazed, but the warning from Astropol, too late though it was, had done something to improve morale aboard the ship. Not much, but every little bit helped. At least it wasn't their fault. They had done their duty. And who could have imagined that religious fanatics would wish to destroy the Earth? Now that he was forced to think about the previously unthinkable, it was not so astonishing after all. Almost every decade, right through human history, self-proclaimed prophets had predicted that the world would come to an end on some given date. What was astonishing, and made one despair for the sanity of the species, was that they usually collected thousands of adherents, who sold all their no longer needed possessions and waited at some appointed place to be taken up to heaven. Though many of the millennialists had been impostors, most had sincerely believed their own predictions. And if they had possessed the power, could it be doubted that if God had failed to cooperate, they would have arranged a self-fulfilling prophecy? Well, the reborn, with their excellent technological resources, did have the power. All that was needed was a few kilos of explosive, some fairly intelligent software, and accomplices on Deimos. Even one would have been sufficient. What a pity, Singh thought wistfully, that the informer had left it until too late. Perhaps it was even deliberate, an attempt to have it both ways. I've satisfied my conscience, but I've not betrayed my religion. What did it matter now? Captain Singh turned his mind from useless regrets. Nothing could change the past, and now he must make his peace with the universe. He had lost the battle to save the planet of his birth. The fact that he was perfectly safe somehow made him feel worse. Goliath was in no danger whatsoever, and still had ample propellant to rejoin the shaken survivors of humanity on the moon or Mars. Well, his heart was on Mars, but some of the crew had loved ones on the moon. He would have to put it to a vote. Ship's orders had never covered a situation like this.